We got a lot of scriptures to base our message on in our text is coming out of John 18, verse 15. We're going to the trial of our Messiah. We're going to see if there was a deceiver involved that lived after Christ died. We know that Judas died. We're going to give you the scriptures that prove that he died. The Bible says that immediately after he left the courthouse where he put his witness in, and there were two false witnesses that did come. We've covered that. And we're going into John. We're going to get the scene here in the courtroom. And Simon Peter followed the Messiah, Christ, and so did another disciple. Now that's one we're going to talk about in the text tonight, that other disciple. We're going to conclude, if we can, and end the mystery of who we believe that other disciple was for the benefit of enhancing your spiritual insight into the kingdom principles of the things that's kept secret from the foundation of the world. And that is revealed through those that have the ear or the mind of Christ. Now, how can you hear without a preacher? And how can he preach except he be sent? So then faith. The word is always based in a continuum of faith. There's just enough of the word to save you, or there's just enough of the word in doubt to deceive you. Now, who's the deceiver? The Bible says that God himself will send strong delusions, and therefore those who have failed to seek him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength cannot rightly divide the scriptures. Many wrestle. Now let me repeat this, and I'm going to again give you the 99% of the mentality of people in the general Christian era that believes that Christ was a Jew. However, they can't read it. They can get these very obscure scriptures and divvy into them and try to pull forth a revelation. Instead, they put a blindfold over the eyes, and then they lead the blind sheep ignorantly down the road to destruction. For if the blind lead the blind, and that's where they generally wind up. Ladies and gentlemen, Christ was not a Jew. The one that died for you was an Israelite, and he was out of the tribe of Ephraim, the birthright tribe. It's that simple. And we understand that 99% of the people believe that Jesus was a Jew. Now, does that make us popular? No. Will that make you popular if you believe that Christ was not a Jew? No, you won't be popular. You will be hated. You would be despised. You will be cast out because the great mystery, it is a great mystery, of how to overcome the line of the tribe of Judea in the Greek text of Revelations 5 and 5. Now look at this one. Matthew. And it gives us the description of a disciple. The disciple is not above his master. Now, if the master never taught that he was a Jew, and he didn't, then why do those that call themselves disciples try to preach and prove that he came out of the tribe of Judah? What good would it do for the sake of their argument that Christ would come from a non-birthright tribe? He would violate his own law because the scepter and the birthright are synonymous. They go together hand in hand, and the scepter departed from Judah when the Messiah came. The chief rulers that come out of the house of Judah were the scribes and the Pharisees. And that'll be our next involvement, if we follow the Spirit at this point, to prove to you that the chief rulers and Pharisees mentioned by Christ, he gave you a definite warning of the scribes, the chief rulers, and the Pharisees. The Bible is full of warning after warning after warning, and yet we take these blind guides that get up and hawk somebody else's doctrine for the sake of gain, and the Bible says from such turning away, because they seek gain or fame and filthy lucre or the admiration of man's praise. Look at this. Every one that is perfect shall be his master. The word disciple is a follower, a devoted follower. Now listen to this. Luke chapter 14, verse 26. Let me give you a definition of the qualification of a disciple. Matter of fact, the word disciple is mentioned 23 times in the New Testament. This is the one that sets the example of a disciple. Luke 14, 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father, his mother, his wife, his children, and his brethren, and the sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, this disciple, this other disciple, the one that Jesus loved. Now, let's look at that disciple just for a moment, and let me explain to you just exactly who that disciple was. Now, let me give you the scriptures in the Bible concerning the only place in the Bible that you can read that Jesus loved anyone, and I was amazed at the lack of scriptures to refer to the love that he had. Now, we know that he had a love, equal love, as being a true God without partiality or without respect of persons in the kingdom principle covenant that he swore to his people. Everyone that works or gains interest to the kingdom receives the same just reward, and so therefore, God's love is not in partiality. However, we're going to give you some scriptures to indicate that if a man says that he loves God and won't keep his commandments, he's a liar, so he can't be a disciple. Unless you love the Messiah, Christ, Jesus in the King James, notice here, there's five verses of scripture that refers to a disciple that Jesus loved. Now, this disciple mentioned in the book of John exclusively four times in the book of John, it is mentioned that disciple, or one of his disciples, or the other disciple, or the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, that's what we're going to deal with tonight. So, remember, there's five scriptures, John 11 and 5, John 13, 23, John 20 and 2, John 21, 7, and John 21, 20 is the scriptures that we will reference here in the five scriptures. So then, now we found biblical evidence in the mouth of two or three witnesses, the disciple that Jesus loved. Now, a lot of people assume that this disciple was John. However, it doesn't say that that disciple was John. So then, who was that disciple? Well, again, in John 18 and 15, Jesus has been arrested. He's been led away by the high priest or the chief priest. That's where the enemy came from, ladies and gentlemen. The chief priest came from the house of Judah, the Canaanite mixed tribe. These Pharisees and these scribes and these chief rulers are all noted to have the blood of Judah mixed with the blood of Cain. And this is the problem here. This is why Christ was crucified when he came and told them that he was the birthright son from Bethlehem Ephratah, not Bethlehem Judea. and that he had legal claim to the throne, being of the birthright descendant of Joseph. Now here we have Judas from the Canaanite slums, and Herod himself was a Canaanite Jew, bloodline mixed. No wonder Christ could truthfully say in John 8:37, "Your father is the devil," when he was speaking to the Pharisee Jews, the chief Jews, the chief rulers. Yes, the chief rulers came from this, and that's why that scripture's in there. But it includes, in verse 2, same one, "And the birthright was Joseph's." Now, ladies and gentlemen, the birthright and the chief ruler, the Messiah, was one and the same. The birthright had to be handed to the kinsman redeemer. And that kinsman redeemer was from the house of Joseph Ephraim. Elimelech, as I have demonstrated many times, the kinsman redeemer was Boaz from the house of Elimelech. And Elimelech was an Ephraimite, as was his two sons. And so then, the birthright redeemer, the redemptive one in the bloodline of Christ through David, shows up in Ruth and Boaz. And Boaz would have had to redeem the house of Joseph, not the house of Judah. And there we stand, upon the living word of God with a holy interpretation, not for gain, not for popularity. We're not preaching this for popularity. If we were, we wouldn't be preaching this message. We'd change it real fast. We'd get in the 99% category of those that are deceived or those that are in the seam right. And the Bible says there is a way that seems right. And in 8:15, Simon Peter followed Jesus afar off, it says. But so did that other disciple. Now, that other disciple is the one that actually did the damage after Christ died. This disciple lived, and it's the only reference in the Bible. We're going to John 21 here at the conclusion of our message, if we can get it all in, and we're going to have to pack it in real tight here, to prove to you that there was a lying, deceptive disciple. You say, "Oh, buddy, nobody would do that." Folks, the people will sell out for money. Judas sold out for 30 pieces of silver. The 10 brothers that sold Joseph away, they sold him for 20 pieces. So for a total of 50 pieces of silver, the house of Joseph was exiled and enslaved and forgotten about. And they're still forgotten about. But in the last days, there will come revelations of revelators bearing the good news of the birthright kingdom gospel into the hearts of those that can receive it, and a few there be that find it, and those blessed or chosen or predestinated to hear the word, because the Bible said you must be a sheep of pure blood before you can hear the word. Now, a little leaven will leaven the whole lump, so if they err in one point, you can start looking for other errors, and you'll find that also. And listen to me, in John 18:15, "And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. And that disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest." My question to you is this. Why did all of the other disciples, remember they were 12 of them, Judas we know was a snake, we know that he was a Canaanite, we know that he was a devil from the very beginning. You either make the tree good. You see, Judas didn't have good roots. Ladies and gentlemen, to think that Judas was a Galilean is as most as ignorant a statement that I've ever heard anybody say, that Judas perhaps was a Galilean. He was not a Galilean. He was a devil. And nothing good, they said, would come out of Galilee. That's the devil's doing the talking. But does it make it so? Yes, something very good came out of Galilee, and his name was the Savior of the world, Yahweh Shua, in a flesh body. That's who he was. Now, Judas being the devil from the very beginning, he did not have the gift of the Holy Spirit in him. He was not born with a covenant promise. He was a devil from the very beginning. The devil doesn't have a covenant of eternal life. You either make the tree good and the fruit good, or the tree corrupt and the fruit corrupt. And therefore, Judas, being a devil from the very beginning, was exactly what the Bible says he was. He was a Canaanite Jew devil from the very beginning. Now, there was, if you will, a Galilean that also turned state's evidence against the Messiah at the courtroom. Who was that other Galilean disciple? That's who we're talking about right here in verse John 18:15. Look at it real good. Then went in that other disciple to the high priest. Was Christ ever considered a high priest? He was a high priest of our profession of faith, not theirs. He did not want to rule over the Sanhedrin court that was infested with snakes, serpents, devils. Light and darkness has no fellowship. And to think that you would think that Judas was the stock of Abraham pure blood when the Bible said he was a devil? Do you believe in John 8:44 that Christ, when he identified those that were trying to kill him as children of Cain, a murderer? And a murderer does not have eternal life covenant in him. And these Pharisees and chief priests from whom these came out of the bloodline of Judah, yes, they were serpent mixed. If you want to doom your soul, you cross your genetic bloodline of purity and adulterate it with a off blood or the blood of the devil, and you've just lost your covenant inheritance, what little you did have. And even that which you seem to have will be taken away from you in the day of judgment. You better be warned and beware of your false doctrine and your statements on top of it, because you're responsible for your doctrine. And in that day, you'll come up short here and say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. Beware, because the Bible says, they that bear the sword don't bear it in vain. John 18:16. Listen to this now. Then went in that other disciple into the palace of the courtroom. Now, why did Peter, terrified, stand outside trying to hide, trying to remain anonymous, undetected, fearing for his life? Because the warrant that was issued for Christ also said, anyone that is found openly acknowledging to be one of his disciples will also be killed. So therefore, Christ and 10 of his disciples had a warrant on their head for their arrest. Now, there was two that didn't have a warrant. One of them just goes in the courtroom here in John 18 and verse 15. Isn't it amazing that this disciple... Now, this is the disciple that was known to the high priest previously, prior to ever going there at the trial. Now, remember, Christ is going to be tried and convicted this very night that they enter the palace. He is tried and convicted by two false witnesses, Judas and that other disciple, that puts his witness against Christ and then tells the guards that Peter is standing outside, get him. Amazing. Now, Peter doesn't know this disciple is turning in. Peter doesn't know that this disciple is the one that's going to really betray Christ. You see, Judas had an appointment. He went by his fruits. By his fruits, you will know he is a devil from the very beginning. Christ knew who he was. But Christ really loved this disciple. It says so. This is the disciple that Christ loved. Now, let me give you the scriptures that relate to that as we go down. Remember now, the Bible says, whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. He that does not hate his father, mother, wife, children, and brethren, that's what this disciple betrayed Christ for, because the house of Israel, he had been convinced that Christ was an insurrectionist and was trying to destroy Israel rather than save it. So he was convinced by the Sanhedrin court to turn state's evidence. He was one of Jesus' most loved disciples, not necessarily an apostle. There's a difference between the disciples and the apostles. Remember, they were 12 apostles. Judas was one of the chosen, and he died at left 11. Now, that apostleship was filled in Revelations or in Acts chapter 1. We know that they voted to fulfill the 12th office of the discipleship by appointing another apostle, not a disciple, now apostle. So then, this is a disciple, not an apostle. Remember, there were many in the entourage that followed Christ. We're going to give you the one that he loved. Five references in the Bible, five only, should narrow your search down in your investigative ability to find out who that other disciple was. And that's the mystery of that other disciple, the one that we've been trying to bring to a conclusion in the last 3 weeks. Now let me give you verse 16 of John 18. But Peter stood without the door, outside, in the darkness, as close to the fire. He wanted to hear what was going on. He was bold enough to go and stand in the midst of the crowd that was milling outside in a courtyard to hear the verdict. That other disciple, having no fear of the Sanhedrin court, known unto the high priest, these high priests, just because it says chief priest, don't you trust a chief priest. And the ones that we know have come from Judah, with a record we got in the New Testament, I'd be afraid to predict that Christ would come out of this crowd. Because Christ didn't come from anything wicked and evil. Christ was not Beelzebub as they accused him. Christ did not have corrupt blood in his veins as he accused those that were convicting him of dying. They asked him if he was king of the Jews. He didn't say that. He said, you say that. It was common that Judah would be the crown scepter. They'd already convinced the people. Matter of fact, they convinced the people that it was too holy and sacred to even mention the name of Yahweh in the public. And it was a punishable crime by death, meaning it was blasphemy to even speak the name of Yahweh in public. And Christ did it twice when he quoted the 60th chapter of the book of Isaiah, therefore bringing blasphemy upon him and a charge because they heard him stand in the synagogue. It wasn't down in Jerusalem, by the way. But the Pharisee, Jews, and chief priests heard him speak the name of Yahweh in public twice and quote the scripture of the name of Yahweh. And then he turned around and claimed to be Yahweh, incarnated in flesh, and that was enough. They cast dust into the air and pull their hair and cast stones at him until he was even afraid to walk in the land of Judea, let alone be from there. My heavens above, how dumb, deceived, ignorant, foolish has this world, 99% of the professing Christians today that believe that Jesus was a Jew, don't even know anything about how he got deceived or betrayed into the hands of the deceivers who cast themselves now as the chief scribes or out of the true house of God. And the house of Judah never did have the birthright or the scepter. Both of them have departed. One never belonged. He took the other by force and rule. He prevailed. He didn't have any authority in covenant. Not one verse of scripture can they give you that Judah ever had a covenant to rule with a scepter. The Bible said he prevailed. That word prevail means bully. He was a big bully on the block. He was the largest tribe in the house of Israel. But the bloodline of Christ was to come from the birthright tribe, the tribe of Joseph, the one that was never attended to at the altar, the one that had been excluded and exiled from the very beginning because they were jealous and envious of his glory that would obtain through the Messiah that would come. And out of him will come the chief shepherd, the stone that was cut out of the mountains without hands, that tore down the kingdoms of the world. And in the last days, this revelation will restore the true house of Israel to its true preeminence, that we have rights as kings of the Melchizedek covenant to sit with him in heavenly places. Because the Bible said he thought it not robbery. Here we find that other disciple going into the high priest, caught the high priest's ear, Remember, there were two false witnesses that came to finally put the death nail in the coffin of Christ. There had to be at least two witnesses, and the Bible said, yea, they sought for witnesses, and many witnesses came, but they could not agree in their testimony before the Sanhedrin court. In other words, every one that got up to speak against Christ, their witness would not collaborate the last witness, and their witnesses would conflict until they had to dismiss all of those witnesses. And the Bible said, at last, see, they were holding these two. They knew they had to have two, Judas and this other disciple that Jesus loved. Finally coming forth, here is that disciple standing right in the courtroom to put his witness along with Judas. Judas is already at the courtroom. He goes in with Christ. Judas does. He's the betrayer. He's the false witness. He's a devil. I repeat, he was a devil from the very beginning. I repeat, a devil. He was not a Galilean. He was a Canaanite from Kiroth in southern slums of Judah. That's where he's from. Now, this other disciple was indeed a Galilean. This is the one that went into the high priest that was known to the high priest. This is the one who lied on his breast at supper when he was asked, somebody's going to betray. And he said, is it I? We know that he gave the sop to Judas. And Judas went out the same hour in the 13th chapter of John, where we read that other disciple laying on his breast, the one that Jesus loved. Peter asked him, he said, ask the Messiah. Now here he is laying close to the breast. He's a disciple now. He's not an apostle. It doesn't say he's an apostle. That's an assumption. He is a disciple. And there were many disciples present at that meal because there was large following, including women. We're going to show you just exactly who fled the scene before the trial and after the trial and at the crucifixion, who had the nerve to stand publicly. Remember, Judas went out immediately and killed himself. The Bible said he hanged himself and his bowels burst asunder. Because he was a devil from the very beginning, Christ knew he was going to betray him. But what about this other disciple that went right into the palace of the high priest, John 18:15? This disciple was known unto the high priest. This disciple. It's a disciple that Jesus loved. And we know his witness is true because he said that he wrote the book that is reputed to be the book of John, the fourth gospel. You'll find it all from 18, 19, 20, and 21. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And then after the resurrection, we're going to give you the evidence that this disciple was still in the entourage, still fishing, still with Peter, and the other six disciples that went fishing after Christ was crucified and died, having no faith that he would ever rise. This is the disciple that stood right in the Sanhedrin court with no fear of being apprehended by the authorities as being one of Jesus' disciples because he was the plant that was put in there by the Sanhedrin court to turn state's evidence because they knew what Judas was. They had no respect for Judas whatsoever, but they had much respect for this disciple because this disciple that Jesus loved was very cunning and crafty. And the snake, remember what David said, it was not my enemy that deceived me. It was my brother, the one that I took sweet counsel with and walked into the house of God. That is the one that deceived me. The Bible talks about deceivers in our own midst, and we got many of those deceivers that for popularity choose the popularity route. Instead of going with a 1%, they go with a 99% just to make large gains or the praise of man. Well, I still stay in the 1% of the minority of the congregation of the mighty ones that stand with truth, and truth will stand when the world's on fire. Again, verse 16. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple. The one that Jesus loved went out, that disciple, after he turned state's evidence against Christ at the trial, with Judas, the final two false witnesses came, this other disciple, and Judas turned state's evidence at the trial and delivered. In the perilous times, in the midst of tribulation, in the midst of minardyship, Christ will take a little group of people with the truth, and he will raise up the stone that will shoot out of a mountain without hands. This is the stone shepherd from the covenant series of the Melchizedek kingdom of the house of Joseph, and they will restore back what the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the Judites, who profess to be Jews and are not, but are liars, we will restore what they've kept away. Here's the intrigue of the mystery. Pastor Buddy bringing it to you exclusively. We don't know of anyone else that's taught on this message, so you better take notes, because you'll hear it only here on the Shepherd's Call. We don't follow the pack. We don't preach for filthy lucre, or to please man to get you a pat on your back. We're preaching you controversial doctrine that'll stir you up and put you in a Bible and perhaps may save your soul if you'll repent and turn to the truth. But Peter stood at the door without, then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and they brought in Peter. Uh-oh, here's a rat right inside the courtroom, the one that ate bread and lifted up his heel against Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, this man had his feet washed. Did you know that Judas never had his feet washed? Did you know that when our Messiah gave Judas the sop in the 13th chapter of the book of John, that the Bible said he rose immediately from the table before that Christ ever got the pans out to wash 11 disciples' feet? Those 11 were all Galileans. The Judite, the Canaanite Jew, had done left the assembly. Here he washes the feet of his disciples. This disciple that Jesus loved had his feet washed that night and ate bread and now was lifting up his hand against the cause of Christ, put his witness against Christ in the Sanhedrin courtroom and ratting on Peter and had him arrested standing outside. Now, if Peter hadn't vehemently denied that he knew Christ, they would have killed Peter also. But Christ had long predicted that Peter would deny him that night before the cock crowed 3 times, and it happened just as Christ said. Isn't it amazing how that when the word is rightly divided and put in order, that all things come to revelation? But in the house of confusion where there's ever evil work, and that the Bible said the love of money is the root of all evil, and when you jerk up evil, you'll find a Canaanite Jew dangling on the roots of it. They love money. They love praise. They love the chief seat. Of course, the chief ruler came from the house of Judah. We're not going to deny that, but the Bible said he prevailed, but the birthright was Joseph. Now, would the Messiah come from a birthright tribe, or would he come from a tribe that didn't have any birthright privileges? If Christ came through the house of Judah, then he couldn't claim any birthright privileges to be the birthright son, because the birthright son would come from the house of Joseph, and everything in the house of Israel would bow to Joseph and the birthright son. And that's the way it is, and that's why Christ said that every knee would bow to him, including the knee of Judah. Here we go. But Peter stood at the door. Then went out that other disciple. Can you see this? Can I place it into your mind? How would you like to be one of Christ's disciples and see your friend here? The one, you see, Peter didn't really know, because he couldn't see into the courtroom. He was outside. He didn't know that John was doing any of this. We'll find out evidence. He still didn't know it until Christ revealed it to him in the 21st chapter of John. Now, here we go. After that Peter was brought in, after he denied, and then they led Jesus away, and the next day they crucified him, and then he's dead. All right, now, we'll pick up the story. John 19:26. Then Jesus, therefore, saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold your son. Now remember, he's on the torture stake. He's fixing to die. And the two witnesses that just left the Sanhedrin court the night before. Now this is the next day. He's on the torture stake. There is a woman standing there named Mary. There's another woman named Mary, and there's another Mary there. There's three Marys, and that disciple whom Jesus loved, standing there openly. Now, of course, the women would not be considered a threat, because it was the males that carried the distinction of being priests. So then the women would have no fear of being killed or incarcerated for believing on Christ. So here is Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary Magdalene, and Mary standing at the foot of the cross with that disciple, that other disciple. Now it turns into that other disciple. Standing by, now listen, John 19:26. Then Jesus therefore saw his mother and the other two ladies that I mentioned. They are all three named Mary. We call it the three M's, standing at the foot of the cross. Now remember, Mary has become the central figure in the house of the Catholic Church, along with, they claim, Peter being the first apostle. And therefore, Mary worship, the goddess worship, is brought into the Catholic Church, and therefore paganism is extended into the Christian era with a few changes necessary, and they had to have somebody that knew the integral working of the development of setting up a church. And this disciple, this other disciple, knew exactly, wasn't Peter. Because remember, this other disciple, standing at the foot of the cross, Peter fled. He wasn't at the scene of a crucifixion. But that other disciple that was in the courtroom to put his witness against Christ was standing right there without any fear of recompense by the authorities. He wasn't afraid of being arrested. He even knew the high priest and was standing in the General Assembly of the Sanhedrin Court, who were there to put their witness against Christ. When he saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved. Listen, folks. It is often those that you're so close to or love so much that hurt so much when you get stabbed in the back with their tactics of deception. The Bible said, if you have an ought against your brother, go to him and him alone. If he teaches something that's contrary to sound doctrine, you go try to save him. You don't openly go against him. You try to reconcile your brother, and if he won, then if he'll hear you, and if he won't, you're supposed to take two witnesses. There you go. Do they follow those procedures? No. Who are they? They're deceivers. Preaching for gain or fame. They have no respect for the word, although they say that they love the word by their actions and their deeds. They break it, making themselves transgressors of the covenant, therefore worthy of the same punishment that will come upon those, even those that crucified and opened his side. You can open his side and crucify him all over again by your deceptive ways and by deceit. That other disciple, standing there, he said to the woman, "Woman, behold your son." Then said he to the disciple, "Behold thy mother." Now listen to this. This is an amazing scripture. John 19:27. Then said he to the disciple, "Behold your mother." He didn't say, remember, he said, before you can be my disciple, you got to hate your mother. Here's Christ, not even recognizing his flesh and blood mother, giving her no sympathy whatsoever, because he knew what he had to do. And he knew that the man that he was looking right into, that other disciple, had stood in the courtroom and put his witness against him and had indicted Peter as being one of the disciples. Now, Peter didn't know that, still didn't know it. He didn't know that John had ratted on him. And he certainly didn't know what this disciple said against Christ in the Sanhedrin court. Do you know what this other disciple, do you know who he was? Have you search the scriptures for those things that are hidden, and the Bible says the things that are hidden far outweigh the things that are written. Because the things that are written, they're written in such a way, as I've said, that if you are not learned and versed in the scripture, you'll wrestle with them to your own death and destruction, thinking that you're doing God a service. You'll actually be on the other side fighting against him. And he'll say in that day, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And that's going to be the sad story of the house of Israel. These that deserve to go to heaven have been deceived, or going about to deceive, for filthy lucre or gain, thinking that gain is God. As the Bible said, from such withdraw yourself. Here it is, John 19:27. Then he said to that disciple, "Behold your mother," and from that hour that disciple took Mary, the mother of Christ, into his own home. Isn't that strange? That Mary becomes the central figure in the Godhead of the Catholic Church, and she fulfills the role of a goddess. She's been seen in apparitions all over the world, appeared to in lords, and all over the country in Egypt. She's appeared throughout the earth, standing on church house steeples, Mary worship. Hail Mary, the Mother of God, the Virgin. And folks, she wasn't a virgin. She had children after that Almighty Yahweh impregnated her and overshadowed her. She had children. The Bible says she had sons of us. She wasn't a virgin. She was a virgin at that time, but after that she was given to Joseph and they had children. The Bible said that Christ had half brothers and half sisters in the family. So here we go. John 19:38. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, see here, he's a disciple. Joseph, he's secretly now, listen to him, he's a disciple, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave it him leave, and he therefore came and took the body. Now, Christ is dead. 20:2, John. Then she, Mary Magdalene, and a lot of people theorize that Mary Magdalene was that disciple that Jesus loved, because they read some book in the Gospel of Philip that says that Christ kissed her in the mouth, and therefore that he loved her. It's not recorded one place in the Holy Bible where Christ ever loved Mary Magdalene and she became his wife, as some suppose. This is false doctrine. This is supplication that has been falsely assumed. She ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. There he is again. Now this after the death. And said unto them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him." John 20:3. Then Peter went therefore and that other disciple and came to the sepulchre. So that they both ran together, this is John 20:4 now, together, and that other disciple did outrun Peter. Now, this disciple must be in pretty good shape. He outran Peter. Not only could he walk into the courtroom unafraid, he could stand at the crucifixion unafraid, and he could outrun Peter to see the very fact, because, you see, the Bible's going to tell you that he came first to the sceptre. The one that put his witness against Christ and Peter was the first one in the grave to see whether it was so. He was, you know, probably at this point, he's thinking, "Man, maybe I accused the wrong one. Maybe it is true that he's going to raise." And they went in also, then went in, here it is, 28, I'm going to prove it, that he didn't believe. Then went in also that other disciple which came first into the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. You see, he actually doubted Mary's testimony, but when he got in there and the grave was empty and the linen cloth that he was wrapped in were laying there. Therefore, verse 21:7. Now we're going to jump over to 21:7 because we've got to cut this short. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, now remember, this is after his resurrection, "It is the Lord." Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat. Remember now, they'd all gone fishing after Christ. They didn't know. They couldn't find the body. So they assumed that, like the Sanhedrin court had said, they put out the false statement that somebody stole the body of Christ. Matter of fact, they had it surrounded and said, "At least somebody come and steal him away, and then his doctrine comes true that he's rose again and he convinces people." But here, it's an undeniable fact that Christ's body has disappeared. And they really didn't know what happened to him. They still didn't fully believe that he was going to raise from dead because they seen him die. And here he is. They were going fishing after Christ had chosen to be fishermen of men. They went back to their profession of fishing. Now remember, it's Peter, James, and John. That's three of them. And that other disciple whom Jesus loved, he's in the crowd, and three more. So we got seven disciples here in the boat, fished all night and caught nine. And Peter girt his fisherman's coat into him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. Now, the reason that I say that it wasn't Mary Magdalene, Peter wouldn't have went fishing with her. She was that other disciple. She wouldn't have been in a boat fishing and Peter naked. You know that. So they were all men. They'd all fished together. They were all acquainted. And it was quite a custom for them to strip down, because the little boats that they had, the wind would churn the waves up and they would get wet anyway. So most of them fished naked on the boats. It wasn't uncommon as a custom, and they still do that, matter of fact, today. Now, the most significant scriptures that will indicate a mystery here, I'm fixing to give you that scripture. And for the sake of time, if you have any questions on this, if you'd like to know more about it, then call Pastor Bud. I'd be glad to talk it with you. John chapter 21:20. Then Peter, turning about, seeth that disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast of supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Now, the most significant scripture that is left out, that one of you will betray me. Now, remember, it couldn't be Judas, because Judas is far dead. He was dead. And this other disciple, Christ, is checking Peter's loyalty against the loyalty of that other disciple. Peter, do you love me? He said in the 15th chapter. Then he told him in the 18th verse, what of the 21st chapter, what he would do and how he would die. He foretells Peter's death, that they would gird him and lead him, and the tradition says he was crucified upside down. This is Peter. This he spake, signifying what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said, follow me. Then Peter turned about, seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Here it is, verse 21. Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, what will this man do? Remember, Christ had already heard this other disciple's testimony against him in the Sanhedrin court. He knew he was going to turn state's evidence. And remember when Paul had warrants in his pocket? This other disciple was perhaps still feeding information of the whereabouts of these disciples, so the Sanhedrin court could trace them down, hunt them down like common criminals, which they did. For reference, if you want to see James, the brother of the Lord, he was killed in Acts chapter 12, verse 3. And because they saw it pleased the Jews that they killed one of these disciples, they proceeded to take forth Peter and they arrested him and would have killed him. But Yahweh miraculously opened the jailhouse doors with the angels and let him out. Jesus said unto him, now here's the amazing statement. Here's what I want you to get. Jesus said unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to you? Follow thou me. Now Peter asked him, what will this other disciple do? Remember, we're talking about betrayal. And Christ's son said, what is it to you? You just follow me. You just keep your loyalty to me. Then went, now verse 23, and I'll close it. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that that disciple should not die. And yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarries till I come, what is that to you? Now there's one disciple in the Bible that Jesus loved, and it's written in the Bible. Do you know where it's at? Do you know what scripture that is? It is a scripture that is very, very mystifying. And I'll give it to you. In John 11 and 5, John 13, 23, John 20 and 2, John 21, 7, John 21, 20, is the only scriptures in the Bible that says Jesus specifically loved someone, a disciple. The first four says that disciple whom Jesus loved, but it don't identify him. In John 11 and 5, that disciple is identified. This disciple was risen from the dead by Christ himself. And that saying went abroad that that disciple would not die. Could it have been that disciple of John 11 and 5? We'll leave it with you there. And if you'd like to have more information on the subject, we'll be glad to give it to you. Now, you can write us tonight. I'm live. And this is the fourth day of January. We're live and direct on WWCR, worldwide, around the world, ladies and gentlemen, the mighty voice of WWCR. If you've never been to Nashville and seen the facilities of WWCR Shortwave, you're in for a treat if you'd like to go visit. And they welcome visitors. They give you tours. So they'd be delighted to have you there at this awesome broadcast facility that broadcasts around the world daily. Praise Yahweh. And nightly. Well, call me tonight. Area code 423-626-2172. Now, that's area code 423-626-2172. That's Pastor Buddy. I'm live. I'll talk to you in person. If the line's busy, don't get mad at me. Call me back. Take my number down. And if you have to leave your number, I'll call you back. Praise Yahweh. Now, write me. Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284. That's Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip, 37824. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip, 37824. Now, if you'd like to call my sponsor, Dr. Gary and Dr. Jack, let me give you their telephone numbers. We need your help on sponsoring our program. We greet all of our listeners and those that we love around the radio network. If you're a first-time listener, we welcome you into the Shepherd's Call, and we appreciate having you in our listening audience. We appreciate hearing from you. And write us a letter and tell us you listen to us on WWCR. And write or call these two brothers here. This is Dr. Gary. Let me give you his number. This is toll-free, 1-877-289-7439. That's Dr. Gary. Dr. Jack is 1-888-281-7320. Now, if you just pick up the telephone and give me a call tonight. Call Dr. Gary tomorrow between the business hours of 8 to 5. Dr. Jack from 8 to 5. And talk with these two brothers. They're wonderful brothers. They're in the common faith here of the house of Israel. We are sacred name believers. We believe in water baptism for the remission of sins in the name of Yahweh. We believe in the covenant divine principles of the house of Israel, that we're Aryan Israelites, too for and about the lost sheep of the house of Israel. We're out of the covenant of the Melchizedek. We're not associated with the Levitical covenant. We are in the covenant of Melchizedek. We believe in ancient altar worship participation. We believe in the lunar calendar for our days to observe. And we keep them, and we keep them in the divine principle. Now, Dr. Jack has just finished the calendar for the year 204, year 2004. We have the calendar available for you, Dr. Jack, and it's ready and ready to go. If you'd like to have a copy of that calendar, when you write us, include us a little offering, a little love offering in there, and ask for the calendar. We'd be glad to send it to you for the whole year. It tells you what days that the true Sabbaths come on, what day of the new moon to begin your month count in the week, and it also will tell you what the dates the feasts and the festivals are that we keep in Andrews, North Carolina. And it gives you those dates. So if you'd like to have it, now, for you, my tithers, you will be receiving a copy of that calendar in the mail from me automatically. So you don't have to write or call. You will be getting a copy very soon. And we apologize that we're a little bit late getting them out. But we were right down to the wire as we were last year. But we will try to get those out to our regular tithers and contributors to the Shepherd's Call. We'll get those out to you this week, this coming week, if time will permit us. So you just be looking for that copy. You don't even have to call us about it. We'll send it to you, praise Yahweh. This is Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call and all those that support us in this truth venture that we're trying to bring you things that's been kept secret from the foundation of the world, giving you the word as from the Spirit, the living word, and may Yahweh richly bless you in the coming year. Appreciate all those that have helped us, have tuned in to us. We love you and appreciate you, and we'll be seeing you next Sunday night at 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 Central on the Shepherd's Call Radio Network. Yahweh bless you until then. Peace unto you. And remember, that other disciple was a deceiver. Yahweh bless you.